Well, one of my favorite things to do during the holidays is to sit around with my family. And when I'm with my family, one of the favorite things to do is to just hear old stories. It's especially fun to listen to the older generation as they talk about times gone by, to hear them talk about their good old days, what life was like back when. Do you ever reminisce? Think about your glory days? It's kind of fun to do from time to time. Is there any time in your past that you'd like to relive? No, just, I want to do it all over again. Well, as I thought about that question, I thought of a time of my life in my past that I really enjoyed. I really enjoyed that time at the time. But I'm not sure that I'd want to go back and do it over again. And that time in my life that I enjoyed, but I don't really know that I'd want to go back and relive, was back when I was dating Jeanette. Now let me explain, because I know that sounds harsh. So hang on, I don't want to get in trouble this morning. Let me explain. When Jeanette and I were dating, we lived in separate towns. We lived 90 minutes away from each other, which meant we spent most of our time apart. And we hated that, because being separated from someone you love is just terrible. So we didn't see each other all week long. We only got to see each other on the weekends. And so each night, we would pick up the phone and we'd call each other. Only this was back in the days before unlimited cell phone talk plans that we all have, right? Do you remember what those days were like, folks? Yes, dreaded long distance is what we dealt with. So every minute that we were on the phone talking cost money. And so as we were there talking on the phone every night, the dollar bills just kept increasing and increasing. But we didn't care because we were in love. And so we talked nearly every night. And sometimes we'd just be sitting there on the phone. We'd talk about our day. We'd get done talking. We had nothing left to say, so we'd just be on the phone, just breathing to each other. But we didn't want to hang up. Neither of us wanted to say goodbye, and so we stayed on the phone with the phone bill just increasing and increasing. But we didn't care. We didn't care about the cost, because we wanted to be together. We wanted to be connected. So that's why I wouldn't exactly want to go back and relive those old dating days, because now I can be with the one I love. As I thought about this, I realized that actually that's the story of the Bible. This book, all 66 books of it, is simply the God of the universe saying to you and me, I want to be with you. That's the story of the Bible. You can sum it up down to that little phrase. But let's look and let's see. Don't take my word for it. Let's open our Bibles this morning and let's look and see if that is true, if that is God's theme for this book. Now, many times when we do a sermon, we tend to focus in on one little passage and we try to mine all the truth that's out of it, and that's a great way to study. But today we're going to do a broad view of the Bible. We're going to do a bird's eye view of what the Bible has to say. We're going to look at a panorama to get the big message. So if you've got your Bibles with you, I encourage you to open them up to the very beginning. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 1. And if your Bible doesn't open up, but it actually clicks on, go ahead and do that as well. Get it warmed up, because we're going to be making our way through God's Word today. In Genesis 1, it tells us that God creates a world that's able to sustain life. So why does he do it? Why does he do it? Well, the simple answer is God wants to be with humans. God even created a special time to be with humans in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. If you'll follow me there, Genesis 2, verse 1, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. We have books upon books that are written about the Sabbath, what it is, and what we do with it. Sometimes we make up rules about what we're going to do on Sabbath or what we're not going to do. But in reality, the Sabbath is simply God saying, I want to be with you. That's all it is. God asking us to spend time with him. If you'll turn the page there in your Bible to Genesis chapter 3, we see this continuing in a physical sense. Genesis 3 and verse 8. Speaking of Adam and Eve, it says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. We find God coming here into the garden like he has before, because God just wanted to be with Adam and Eve. But then sin happens. They eat from the tree they shouldn't eat from. Now what does God say? Well, that was fun while it lasted. I'm done with them. Is that what God says? No, God comes anyway. And in verse 15, after sin, we find God's promise of what he's going to do with this planet that's in an emergency. Genesis 3, verse 15, it says, this is God speaking, and he's speaking to the serpent, and he says, I will put enmity, I'll put conflict, enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. We find God's first promise that he's one day going to destroy Satan and make it so that humans can one day be with God. But it comes at an extreme cost to God. You see, God was willing to pay far more than just the price of long-distance pricing to be with you. And God says, I'm willing to pay that price, because I want to be with you. So we continue in the story of the Bible. We continue to see this theme of God saying, I want to be with you. If you turn with me to Genesis, we find the very famous flood story. And I know we're in Genesis 6, and some of you are thinking, are we going to go through every chapter in the Bible today? Well, I'll leave that to you. We were going to hit some highlights. But in Genesis 6, we find the flood story. And we many times have thought of this story as God's story of wrath on the planet. But it's not. It's not about his wrath. When we look a little closer in verse 5, Genesis 6, verse 5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made humanity on the earth. This story begins not with God's wrath, but with his sadness. Why is God sad? Because sin had so corrupted humanity that God was not able to be with them. And it was in such danger that people had gotten so bad that God has to go to extreme measures in order to save Noah and start over, or else God could never be with us. We next find God's desire to be with us in Genesis chapter 12. When God finds one man, he finds Abram, and he calls him out, and he says, I'm going to bless you. God makes Abraham his friend, but why? What purpose? Is God just choosing favorites? I like this guy. Everybody else, I'm not so sure about. Is that what God's doing? Not at all. When you go to Genesis chapter 12, you look at verse 3. He says to Abram, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all families of the earth shall be blessed. God wants to be with not just one person, not just one group, not just one people or one race. God wants to be with all of us. And when we continue this story throughout the Bible, we see that this theme of God wanting to be with you continues. When we go to Exodus, we find God giving his law to Israel. And right in the middle of God's law, we find the Sabbath commandment, the fourth commandment. God says, set time aside to be with me. because God knows that relationships take time to grow. So he tells us, spend time with me. Is that a mean thing to do? You know, is God being harsh and just demanding? Is he all focused on rules and things like that? Well, folks, if you have fallen in love, think back to it. When you were falling in love with someone, was it a drag when they wanted to hang out with you? When they called you up and said, hey, let's get together and let's hang out this coming Saturday night, where you're like, oh, come on. You're being too demanding on me. Why do we have to hang out? Is that how you were when you were in love? Of course not. You didn't yell at him and say, what's with all these rules about hanging out together? No, you were delighted to hang out with the one that you were falling in love with, and I hope you're still wanting to hang out with that person. Sabbath is, again, God saying to you and me, I want to be with you. I want to be with you. But God doesn't just want connection on one special day of the week. He wants that, but he wants connection with us all the time. So in Exodus chapter 25, verse 8, God says, let them build me a sanctuary. He says, I want you to build this thing. He gets very specific about how to build it. But he gives the reason why he wants it built in verse 8. Let them build me a sanctuary. Why? That I might dwell with them. That's the story of the Bible. God wants to be with us. He's desperate to be with humans. God's promises all throughout the Old Testament are from a God who wants to be with you. In the book of Isaiah, God tells his people that they're headed for hard times. Because of the choices that they made, the things that they'd done, he said, you're going to go to captivity. You're going to be defeated as a nation, and you're going to be taken away captive. It's a dreadful thing God has to tell his people. But he says it's coming. And even with that harsh reality that's coming, God says, listen to me, though. In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2, says, when you pass through the waters, what? I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. God says, I will be with you even on your worst days. Even at your lowest moments, I'm going to be there. Friends, there are many joys to life as a pastor, but there are terrible times too that come. Years ago, a church family called me to tell me that their 29-year-old son had committed suicide. And I jumped in the car and I just flew down to their house. I didn't even change clothes to put on respectable pastor clothes. I just went with whatever I had on because I just had to be there. And on my way, and as I'm driving, my mind is racing, and I'm thinking, what am I going to say? What am I going to say to them? And I started praying in panic. I said, Lord, I'm pretty good at talking, and I really am rarely at a loss for words, but I don't know. I have no clue what to say to this family. And I prayed that to the Lord, and he answered my prayer and gave me nothing to say. And I walked into that house, these people whose lives were just torn in two. And all I could do was just hug them as we cried. And then we just sat. I can remember sitting in their kitchen, the father and the young man, and one of my church elders was there, and me. And we said no words, because there was no words to say. But we were there. And the family was so grateful at the end. And we weren't just there that day. I kept going back. I was there when they had the visitation, and the family was there with the casket. And then they invited me to come in. So I went in with them, and we stood there by the casket until we couldn't stand any longer. And one of the girls said, I got to sit. And so then we just sat, and we sat for hours. and they were so thankful. Not because I had any words of wisdom to say, not because I gave them any formula on how to work through grief, just that I was there. And I learned from God about the ministry of presence at that time. Just be with them, he told me. This idea, this theme of be with you is how God starts the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 1, what we celebrate next month, if you want to turn with me there as we go to the New Testament now, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, we find this theme that we began with in the Old Testament, God picks right up in the New. Matthew 1 verse 23, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. That's how the New Testament begins. The birth of the Savior. God begins with the same thought that he had all through the Old Testament. Emmanuel, God with us, with you. Only this time, God's going to be with us like never before. This time, God's extreme love will cause him to become like us in order to be with us. In my mind's eye, I try to picture God the Son in the moments before he becomes incarnate, before he becomes somehow inside of Mary. And I try to picture those last few moments in heaven when God the Son looks around. Perhaps he's surrounded by the angels. Ever imagine what the look on their faces? Are they worried because they know what's going to happen? What were the angels feeling at that moment? Did Gabriel go up to his Lord and hug him one more time? And then God the Son looks around at all the glory, at all the splendor of the heavens, and he declares, "I'd rather be with you." And then by eternal God power, God the Son somehow, in an instant, becomes a zygote inside of Mary. The Creator becomes part of creation because he wants to be with you. Now let's stop here for a moment, because I know that this all sounds amazing. It sounds almost too good to be true, but I want to make it really real this morning. The idea of God wanting to be with you. It's not because you and me are so great, is it? No. Because you know you, don't you? And I know me. And we know what we've done when we look in the mirror, don't we? And we can give ourselves a pretty stern look when we're looking in the mirror. Because we know what we've done, we know what we've thought. Is there anything in you and me that should make God want to be with us? No, there really isn't. But the Bible tells us that's exactly true. Romans 3, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." There's nothing in us that could recommend ourselves to God. And yet that's the fact about how great God's love is for you. Because the fact that we're not worth it shows that Jesus coming to be Emmanuel is just that amazing. Because it didn't stop him. He didn't wait for us to get our act together. He just said, "I'm going to be with them." Our dreadful state and sin did not stop him from climbing the hill to Calvary. And our sins do not stop Jesus from still wanting to save us or still wanting to be with us. Turn with me to John chapter 14, to a very famous section of Scripture that if you haven't memorized, it's a good section too. John chapter 14, verse 3, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Then I love this next part. "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There's that beautiful theme again. God still wants to be with you. It's the story of the Bible all the way through. The books of the New Testament that we find after this point are just there to help us learn how we can be with God right here and right now. It's not just about looking forward to when He comes, but it's about having God's presence in our lives right here. And through daily prayer and Bible study, we can experience God with us. James 4, verse 8 says, draw near to God, and what? He'll draw near to you. Like many folks here of late, I was able to go and witness the movie about Desmond Doss. Amazing story, miracle story. But I think one of the things that inspired me the most as I watched the movie and as I read the book was this man's dedication to prayer and Bible study. He kept his little Bible with him the whole time, and he turned to it daily, constantly, and that is what sustained him through not just the war, but all the opposition even before the war. When no one stood at his side, he clung to his Bible and his prayer life so that he could have God with him in the most extreme situation. It's in the quiet moments of life, in prayer and Bible study, that we can sense God close to us. And we can have it today. But friends, if we're honest, we want more, don't we? We want more than just prayer. We want more than just Bible study. We want to be with God. Amen? And He really wants to be with you. Because that's how the Bible ends. It's the same thought all the way through. So if you got your Bible, flip it all the way to the back and go with me to Revelation, a book that's not scary, a book that just continues the theme that it's been there all the way along. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3, here at the very end of the story, it says, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. They shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. This whole book is God telling us, I want to be with you. It's God's theme. It's His love song. If God sang a song, this would be it. I want to be with you. The only question that remains is, do we want to be with Him? Both Jeanette and my family live in Iowa. So over the years, we have driven back and forth on I-80 many times. We know that road well. And most trips when we're going back home are fun. We're excited. We're talking about who we're going to see and what we're going to do. Nice drives. But there have been times that we've driven those miles east of Omaha with our hearts in our hands. Times when we left school, when we left work, when we left ministering, we left everything to get back as fast as we could. Years ago, we got the call late at night. You got to come home. Tanya's been in a car accident. Tanya's our niece. Yet she's more like a sister to Jeanette than a niece. So we got in the car. And we sped away. We're praying and speeding the whole way there because nothing else mattered. We just gotta get home. And we made it to the hospital. We rushed into the ICU. And, you know, you're not supposed to see 18-year-olds look like that. In the prime of life, laying in a hospital. We walked over to Tanya as she lay there, and Jeanette began to stroke her hair, and I could hear the ping of windshield glass falling out of her hair onto the floor. Tanya opened her eyes, and she saw us, and all she could say was, I'm scared. My heart broke a little bit when I heard my niece say that. And all we could say was, we're here. All your family's here. We're not going to leave you. We're with you. We made it in time, and we stayed, as we couldn't leave. And I praise the Lord that somehow after that accident, Tanya made a full recovery. And she's grown and married, and she's got her own kids now. It's a beautiful family. But it makes me think that this world has been hit with a car collision with sin. And we're all injured, we're all scared, and we're all broken. And God's love brings him down across the cosmos because for God, nothing else matters. His focus is on this world, and he wants us to be healed because God still wants to be with you. It's the story of the Bible all the way through. And I love how the story ends, because it ends with God still wanting to be with you, but it can end with something else. It's not a question that God wants to be with you, but it can end with us wanting to be with God. That's the choice that's still up for grabs. If that's your prayer today, then this world, then this life, no matter where you're at or what you've been through, can have a happy ending. Amen. Revelation 22, verse 20. He who testifies of these things says, surely I am coming quickly. And then this is our part. This is our ending if we choose to write it. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, so we can be with you. Let us pray. Almighty Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for all the things that we can be thankful for in this Thanksgiving season. We thank you most of all that you're the God who wants to be with us. We confess we don't understand it. We confess that we aren't worth it. And yet, Lord, we just thank you that you want to be with us. And we ask you now, in the quietness of this moment, that you would enter our hearts so that we can want to be with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.